This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning. Happy Thursday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Coming up in 25 minutes, Chris Sullivan on to talk about what everybody is talking about in the state of Washington. We'll be talking about $30 tabs. But right now, before we get to Ursula's top five news stories of the day, good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. I have a funny feeling we're going to have to turn that frown upside down. The $30 car tabs, you've been waiting for this decision.
Waiting. I've been waiting. I mean, I'm talking about waiting.
I know.
I even walked outside and looked at my tabs one more time. I looked at them. But I'm just letting you know, Ursula. No, okay, before we get started, and usually these are questions I ask you off the air.
Uh-huh.
How fired up do you want me to be normal, G?
I want you to be you. I don't want
so
to tell you.
Fired up right
I
now.
Want you to be as fired up.
Are you
up.
Sure?
Yes, absolutely. You've given me the warning. I don't think you even need coffee today.
No.
I think you're gonna... So everyone knows, too, we have calls out to Tim Iman. We're going to have State Senator Steve O'Bann join us in the 11 o'clock hour. So we are going to have a lot of reaction. What's next? I mean, this is like at least the third time that $30 car tabs or lower car tabs has been put on the ballot. Voters say yes, and then it's, you know, shot down. So what is going to happen next?
Well, I just feel like going to buy me a leather office chair from somewhere right now. But let's get to Ursula's top five news stories of the day.
And we are going to start with that breaking news. You will not be getting your $30 car tabs. The state Supreme Court has just ruled I-976 unconstitutional. Khyber Radio's Hannah Scott joins us now with details on this breaking news.
And that's right, Ursula. In just the last half hour or so, the state Supreme Court struck down I-976. That's the latest $30 car tab initiative from Tim Iman. The high court ruling that the initiative violated the state constitution by log rolling or violating that single subject rule by including a requirement for Sound Transit to defease its bonds, also related to the vehicle, repealing the vehicle taxes and fees. So that would violate the single subject rule. It also found that it was unconstitutional because the ballot title was inaccurate and therefore misleading to voters. The bottom line here is whatever you have been paying for car tabs, it's what you're going to keep paying.
And again, this is the state Supreme Court, so this is as far as it can go. It's not going to, if it were to come up again, it would basically Tim Iman or whoever else decides to do it has to start all over again, right?
That's absolutely right. And this was a almost near unanimous opinion. One of the justices dissented specifically on the single subject rule, didn't agree with what the others had said. But bottom line is that this is the ruling and this is what's going to stand.
Thank you, Hannah. So, G, I know that you said you are really fired up. I will admit that I actually voted against $30 car tabs. Mm-hmm. So before you start sending me nasty grams, though, people, because it has been approved by voters, I think this is outrageous.
See, one thing I respect about you, Ursula, is that from the very beginning of this conversation with $30 tabs, you're like, hey, G, I just want to let you know that I did vote in favor. Against that.
Yes.
Right. So I respect that. But then you've also come on here and said, even though you voted one way, you actually did come out and say, well, the people voted.
Yes.
And the people should be heard.
So, and elections should have consequences. And the people voted and they said, you know, they're done with the skyrocketing car tabs and they want them to be $30.
Let me simplify. I'm not as mad as I thought I was going to be because this is more. That's not that bad. It all boils down to one simple thing, Ursula. It boils down to the people that are in power are doing what they want and not what we want. This happens on all levels of government. All the time, we the people, we feel like our voices are being heard. But at the end of the day, the truth of the matter is, a lot of times, our voices fall on deaf ears. You see what I'm saying?
Our voices fall on deaf ears.
And it always seems like there's money that's exchanged at the top. And it's people doing up their jobs. And then when it's time to campaign and run, what are the first thing that people say when they campaign and run? I'm going to do for you. I'm going to do whatever you want. I'm going to be for the people. And then you get to the top and you do exactly the opposite of what the people are. So my emotion is not just tied to $30 tabs. Understand that. It's tied to everything else. And the last point that I want to make, considering that we're talking about money during a pandemic, something that a lot of people don't have, you would think that this would be a time to take an L to our leaders. But then they want to say, well, what about all this and what about all that? What about a global pandemic and a public health crisis in which businesses are closing down every single day? Unemployment has issues. I tell you who doesn't have a problem with getting money. People overseas, no problem getting money from the ESD, do they? So, yes. I apologize for my emotion, but sometimes you got to put your foot down and say enough is enough. And I'm sick and tired of the people not being listened to.
Well said. Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin has unveiled who is now going to be on that task force that will determine how $100 million will be spent on communities of color. The Seattle Times is reporting this morning that the 29 members include pastors, union leaders, the NAACP, the Urban League, along with the Seattle Indian Health Board and El Centro de la Raza. City Councilmember Deborah Juarez is going to serve as a non-voting member. The Durkin administration is going to pay a consultant up to $200,000 to help this task force navigate its work between November and June of next year.
So somebody's going to come in. Are they going to call them a czar? Is somebody going to come? Is somebody going to come in and get
paid?
Please
no.
Look, Chef made this point before. Whenever you get tasked with the name czar, it is not. I mean, that's just.
It's trouble from the beginning.
It's just trouble. You don't want that. So, like, hey, we're going to hire you. You're going to come and be our czar. No, I do not want that job. Okay. Anyways, aren't we tired of the consultant-ish deal?
Yeah. The only thing about this whole proposal.
What?
Is the consultant. That's the one thing I told Chef. I said, tell me exactly what that $200,000 is going to do, because you already have so many leaders on there and they're being brought forth.
Thank you.
Yeah. That said, though, I am better with this, because remember we even had a gentleman on recently.
Yes,
who was part of King County Equity Now, mm-hmm. or at least supported what they are feeling, which was this is that group where they were saying, we want the $100 million and we want to decide what we're going to do with that. Not the city, not having that oversight, because they think it's just going to be more of the same instead of bringing in new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people who are not okay with the idea that you give any group a blank check, right? So for me, to see some of the leaders that are going to be on here, and I looked at that whole list, and again, it's nearly 30, I feel better about that. And
so
the one council member, yeah, so you as well, the one council member that I think has been standing up and not going with the flow is Council Member Deborah Juarez, and I appreciate that she is already going to be part of this solution. So I'm good with it. Mm. Minus the consultant fee.
Right? It was a consultant fee that did it for me.
I know. Every consultant's going to email us now. And I say this funny enough because, you know, my oldest son is a consultant. But case,
shut
but I know what he's doing. Okay, here we go. A Seattle area man is now the third person in the world who is confirmed to be infected by the coronavirus twice. The local nursing home resident first tested positive in March and then was in the hospital for over a month with fever, pneumonia, and difficulty breathing. And then 5 months later, this man in his 60s was sick again. And now testing has confirmed that the second bout was a reinfection and not because he had a relapse. So a team from Swedish Medical Center made this discovery. And then in the first case, they say the man's second go-around was a different variant linked to a strain that caused the outbreaks on the East Coast. And then his first infection was tied to the initial strain in Wuhan. And the other important thing is that this man was not as sick the second time around. So this whole idea about immunity, apparently still questionable.
Mm. Ursula, I don't even know what to say about that. That's scary. And I hope that, and that's another thing too. Like we talk about the coronavirus and we have Dr. Angela Rasmussen on every single Tuesday at 10 o'clock. We're grateful for that, to kind of better understand what we're dealing with this coronavirus. And it's not like we've been dealing with this for 7 years. We've been dealing with this thing basically for 7 months.
Right.
So there's a potential that there's going to be other new stuff that we're going to start hearing about fortunately or unfortunately, when it comes to this, is that this is going to be a thing where we're still trying to learn what it is that we are dealing with
here. Absolutely. And this is just a word of caution, because President Trump was claiming that because he's had COVID-19, that he thinks he is immune. And he even mentioned that at a rally. But here's one of the things that he said.
And now I'm immune, they tell me. I'm immune. I could come down and start kissing everybody. I'll kiss every guy, man and woman, man and woman. Look at that guy, how handsome he is. I'll kiss him. Not with a lot of enjoyment, but that's okay.
Okay, and then he made a similar comment on a rally earlier this week. And as you know, he's having rallies. And this is not to pile on the president, but this is just to point out that when you have this kind of misinformation about whether you have immunity or not, don't assume that you do because you've had COVID.
I went through it. Now they say I'm immune. I feel so powerful. I'll walk into that audience. I'll walk in there. I'll kiss everyone in that audience. I'll kiss the guys and the beautiful women and everybody. I'll just give you a big fat kiss.
And he also, at one of these rallies, was asking people, so who has it? Who has it? And then people were raising their hands, and he said, well, you're immune too. You're immune. This is great. So anyway, I think the fact that we have a case right here in our area where someone was reinfected should give you reason for pause. And at least some concern.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know any doctors that are coming out that have said, I mean, again, we're 7 months into this thing, that's basically saying that once you get it, you're immune from it. I haven't heard any doctor come out and say something like that.
No. Also, just did you hear the breaking news, too, that Senator Kamala Harris is now suspending her travel because her communications director and a non-staff flight crew member tested positive for COVID-19. So it is affecting that campaign as well. The Biden campaign just announced that it raised a record-breaking $383 million in September alone, with, of course, just 3 weeks before Election Day. In August, the campaign said its $364 million haul was the best month of online fundraising in American political history. So if you do the quick math, the former vice president's campaign has raised $750 million in just 2 months. And I know it got you upset yesterday.
Okay, it got me upset because this is where we the people, we got to start redoing things, right? Like this whole, there's no way in the world anybody's campaign should be raising $383 million in 1 month during a global pandemic. That is a problem. And here's why it's a problem. They're like, oh, this is record-breaking. All right. 4 years ago, when Hillary or whoever else was on their campaign, things were different, right? You had travel. You had, you know, flights and hotels and all the different. Let's be real, y'all. We're doing a lot of things electronically. There's a lot of technology that's involved. Sure, they might be giving money to social media platforms, but do they really need $383 million to sustain everything they're doing for 1 month? I have a problem with that, Ursula. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. That is not a good thing.
So I look at it, and I think running a campaign is way too expensive anyway before the pandemic. Just in general, it's you can have a perfectly great candidate, but that person cannot continue because they have to have the money to back it, right? And it's ridiculously expensive, in particular, TV advertising. So you're right. But I look at this having nothing to do with the pandemic. I look at it as this is evidence of how much people want change. And I looked into this a little bit more. If you compare it to what happened in 2016, so Hillary Clinton in September of 2016 raised $154 million. Right. And so in this year, over half of that money raised was from online donors, and the average contribution was $44. So it wasn't like big time. It's the sheer number of people who are participating. And I also want to point out that right now there are over 50 million, probably by the time these words are coming out of my mouth, there's probably several more million that have already done online early voting.
Right.
That is 10 times more than the same time last year.
You know what? You know, selfishly, you know what I would like to see? Whatever those expenses were, they have to suspend their campaign. Kamala's people, they can't leave anywhere.
Yeah.
That'd be good to, you know, whatever the money that was going to be incurred in travel expenses during that time for everyone. Let's take that money and go do something for somebody.
I would love that if there's leftover money, because there's only 3 weeks left. I mean, think that would be amazing.
Is that a popular thing for a campaign, for someone after a campaign? Like, hey, you know what? We have all this money left over from all of our donations. We're going to do this with it. No, I've never seen that story either.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't. But maybe there's room for a first. Okay, the other thing. Here's another thing. Again, this is during the pandemic, but just I want you to hear this. In that South Carolina Senate race, so Democrat Jamie Harrison raised, this is another record, $57 million in the third quarter of this year. That is the most ever raised in that short period of time for any U.S. Senate candidate at any time.
I'm telling you right now, Ursula.
I know it. It makes you sick. I get it. But the incumbent Senator Lindsey Graham, of course, he brought in $28 million, which is actually a record for a Senate Republican. But again,
Somebody's gonna ask me when I'm old, my grandkids gonna say, so, Granddad, let me get this straight. You guys were supposed to be struggling during a pandemic, and they shot down the $30 tabs, and politicians was raising $383 million in a month? I'm going to be like, yep, I tried to tell them. I know.
Okay, I'm going to just squeeze in one last one.
Okay.
Arrest the president. Arrest the president. You got the evidence.
Okay, that's not how we feel. That is actually rapper Ice Cube, who is now defending himself against social media attacks after the Trump campaign thanked him for working with the president on his platinum plan for black Americans. This plan would include creating 3 million new jobs in the black community over the next 4 years, increasing access to money by nearly $500 billion, and then strengthening Trump's immigration policies to protect American jobs.
Less than 30 days before the election, Ice Cube jumps on this. Ice Cube also had his big three. His big three did not do so well. So I would assume that Ice Cube probably lost out a lot of money on that. And it's really interesting. And now he starts to do it. And we're talking about $500 billion plan. Ice Cube. Ice Cube is the one that's supposed to be doing this on how to better give to the black community. I would love for the Trump administration to have a better response with COVID response, a better response with cardiovascular and stroke mortality, the expulsion rate from school, third grade reading levels. There's a lot of different things that they can do or could have done, but less than 30 days before election, Ice Cube is teaming up with the Trump campaign. I would be curious as to how much money Ice Cube is getting for this. I know some people are going to say, no, he's going to do this out of the goodness of his heart.
Well, he said that, okay, so he had this contract with Black America. He was asking politicians for banking, police, and prison reform.
Yeah.
And these are all things that, you know, you have called for. And he said, he tweeted, he said, both parties contacted me. Dems said we would address it after the election, but the Trump campaign made adjustments to their plan after talking to us. So he's basically saying it was open to everybody. The Trump campaign jumped in first.
And again, this is something that he presented to both sides. This is the same Ice Cube that told everybody to arrest the president. This is the same Ice Cube that had some of the things that he said on Twitter were some of the nastiest things in the world in 2016. I will never endorse a MF like Donald Trump ever. So now all of a sudden, things are different.
He's a sellout, in your words.
I didn't say that.
I'm saying it.
Well, you sure, you sure are feisty today, Ursula. You sure are feisty. Hey, coming up next, Chris Sullivan coming in here too. I don't know why he's coming in, but I guess he's going to come in and make me feel better knowing that I got to go get these tabs now because they won't be $30. You guys, listen to Gina's show.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula show this morning. So you've already heard your $30 car tabs are not going to happen. That is our top story this morning. Another big story, a potential solution to the West Seattle Bridge. But now we need to know, how long would this take? Let's bring in Chris Sullivan.
Traffic, traffic. No more traffic.
Hey, Sully. A lot of people worked up right now about this $30 car tab thing, and I know you're among them, too.
Yeah, well, I know that I'll be with G this afternoon as he goes to the licensing office to finally get his new tabs.
Yeah, it's so bad for me. Look, it's so bad for me. You guys told me that it'd be all good. All I had to do is just, you know, try to get them. I tried to sign up online, put my information in there, and it said, no, get your butt in here to the office.
That's what you got to do.
And it I told you, I got to come in.
Yeah, and I told you you weren't getting your $30 tabs. I just had a feeling. I knew
you did.
I'm sorry. I know you're going to have to sing your song in the shower to yourself, dude, because I'm sorry. It's not happening.
Okay, so for people who don't realize that this was not the first time that voters have tried to do this, we're on attempt
number three,
I believe, right?
Yeah, where it's been passed and then overturned and passed and overturned. In fact, the first time they did it, we actually had a governor who, with a little bit of, you know, I don't know, constitution to him, he called a special session. Governor Locke did, and actually called them back in and said, listen, I don't like this, but it's the will of the people. Let's give them what they want. That's certainly not going to happen this time based on the current climate in Olympia and who's in the governor's mansion. So
what does this mean, though? So now this has happened, obviously, other than your cart, you're going to be spending a lot more. What does this mean in terms of projects that were put on hold, not put on hold, et cetera?
Well, Sound Transit will not lose $20 billion, which it was expected to lose if $30 car tabs went through. The departments of transportation around the state will have the money that they had anticipated for projects that they want. And we're talking some biggies. I mean, finishing up over I-90, over the top of Snoqualmie Pass, 405 expansion, things like that. So, I mean, there was obviously money and municipalities counting on this money. But let's take a look at the reality. 33 of the 39 counties voted for $30 tabs.
Right.
Yeah.
Six did not, including King, and King voted against it 60%, which I want to get to a political point is why some people tell me, and a lot of people have told me, especially my friends on the east side, they just don't bother voting because it doesn't matter because whatever King County says is going to happen. And that's unfortunate. I'd never want people to not vote because they don't think it won't matter. But today we have an example.
And okay. I'm in 100% agreement with you. And G, I'm going to give you the floor here. But just to be clear, I was one of those King County voters that said yes. But this is ridiculous. I mean, what voters say should go.
You would think so. But that's just not that. And I asked this and we never have gotten a particularly good answer for it, too, is if something's unconstitutional for facing the multiple subject issue or things like that, how then does that ballot title actually make it onto the ballot in the first place? Why can't we handle all this on the front end so that what we vote for is actually cut and dried? How does it make it this far if through the Secretary of State's office or the Attorney General's office to approve a ballot title and then all of a sudden have the Supreme Court say, no, the ballot title you approved isn't good enough? I don't know how we get to that point. I'd really like to get a good legal opinion from someone to explain how this happens time after time after time. You figure we get this figured out on the front end, so a yes or a no means a yes or a no.
Hey, Sully, I know you don't have the list in front of you, but let's just say, hypothetically, that the people would have been listened to, considering we voted for the $30 tabs and they didn't listen to us. And I'm sorry, I had to bring that up again because I'm emotional. let's just say that they would have, okay, it's $30 tabs, you guys are good to go. What would have suffered? What areas, what would we not have money for? Like, talk about that.
Well, Sound Transit, expansion of Sound Transit. I said $20 billion of their funding was up in the air because of this. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that they would have to find probably even more money to pay back the bonds early for STs 1, 2, and not even 3 yet. I mean, well, 3 now, but 1 and 2. To get back to a fair car valuation. Cities like Seattle, for instance, they're looking at their transportation improvement district is expiring at the end of this year. And so they're asking voters for a sales tax increase. But not included in that was they've had a $60 car tab in Seattle that goes directly to bus service. They pay Metro for extra bus service. They didn't even put that on the ballot measure this time because they didn't know what 976 was going to do. So next year, the city council will probably go ahead and impose a $60 car tab fee again to meet what they're currently doing. So, I mean, bus service to mega projects to Sound Transit, they all would have lost significant amounts of money had they given the voters what they asked for.
Okay, we just have a little bit of time. What's the update on the West Seattle Bridge, which affects so many people beyond West Seattle?
Well, the first thing is Mayor Jenny Durkin is not going to make her decision on repair or replace next Wednesday. She had set that date. That was the date we were working on. Well, it turns out that the advisory group, the community task force that's supposed to give her great ideas, and they're like, we can't make this decision because we haven't seen the cost-benefit analysis. We haven't seen the dollars and cents. So how do you expect us to give you any information if we don't know all of this stuff we need to know? So that cost-benefit analysis is going to come in on Monday, and they're going to spend the next couple of weeks deciding repair or replace. And that comes as here we are, 7 months since the bridge is closed almost. And just now we're hearing about a new potential replacement that could be done in about 3 years' time, not the 6 years that the replacement projects that they looked at in the CBA. And this is a steel bridge, not a concrete bridge like we're used to here. It's a steel bridge. The company that built one in about 2.5 years over Lake Champlain between New York and Vermont is now on board with the city of Seattle as a consultant. Mm. And they're thinking, okay, we can build this thing in just about as long as it would take for the repair to get done. Let's talk about that. And so everyone's kind of getting super excited about this. Well, you look at that bridge over Lake Champlain, it's two lanes.
Oh.
The West Seattle Bridge is eight lanes. I'm sure you could put up a two-lane bridge in a matter of time. How are you going to put up an eight-lane one?
But they wouldn't propose that if they didn't think they could do something that would replace.
Well, true, but I'm just saying if you're comparing it, they're going, oh, hey, look what they did at Lake Champlain. Look what Well, that's two lanes versus eight. The other thing about that is they basically found a way to gut all of the environmental review to get that done. They did 5 years of environmental review in about 4 weeks to get that passed through. I'm not sure if that passes it in Seattle to get rid of the environmental reviews that we take.
So don't get too excited.
Yeah, don't get super excited. Let's vet this thing. The more information will come out next week. But yeah, I mean, here we are 7 months into this thing and we still haven't figured out what we're going to do. The people in West Seattle are getting hammered in terms of their businesses, their commute times, their property values. And they're like, can we please just make a decision? Because, I mean, they're on an island out there, really. It's a peninsula, but, yeah. I mean, they're hurting, and they want something done. And a lot of them are actually a little PO'd that they're finding about this latest option here on, you know, 7 months into this thing. It's like, why wasn't this brought up on the front end?
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on there. The decision is pushed off for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Ursula, seems like there's going to be two videos of me over the next few weeks. One is going to be Monday.
Yes.
There's going to be a video of me getting a flu shot.
Yes.
With Dr. Rasmussen. She's coming.
Oh, I'm coming too.
Nice. I got mine 2 weeks ago.
And then two is going to be a video of me going to pay for my car tolls.
You sure it's not going to be you driving to Idaho to register your car in Boise?
Hey, pennies. Listen, I've already had some listeners already text in and say, hey, G, I got a room for you, partner.
Coeur d'Alene isn't that far. Not that east of Spokane. Not telling anybody to break the law, but I'm just saying.
Thanks, Sully.
Yeah, guys.
We need to talk, Urs.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we need to talk. Coming up next, we need to talk about the holidays. There's three of them, y'all. Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. You have to give up two. What will it be? But we are going to tell you why. It's Gino. $7,500 was given to some homeless people in Vancouver, BC. Coming up in about 15 minutes, co-founder and CEO of that project will join us to explain to us how and why. But right now, Ursula, you know, we need to talk. Yesterday, the CDC director, Dr. Robert Redfield, he said that small household gatherings, are becoming a growing source of the spread of COVID. Actually, Dr. Fauci even came out and said all of his children won't be coming for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought we need to talk. We have the holiday season coming up. We have Halloween right around the corner. We have Thanksgiving and we have Christmas. Ursula, there's three holidays coming. Of those three, are you and your family willing to say we're going to forfeit all three of getting together? Or are you willing to say we'll forfeit two and maybe get together for one? Where you at?
I can easily forfeit Halloween. I wasn't planning
that's
to
fair.
Do any. Yeah,
that's
so
fair.
That's real easy.
That's fair.
You know, I think it's harder when you have young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And Thanksgiving,
yeah.
That's usually a big family holiday, but a lot of things have changed even before pandemic time. I mean, we've had a divorce. People have gotten married, you know, with my extended family. So it was going to be smaller anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be the other one that I would give up. Christmas, much harder because everyone will be home. Both boys would be home, my son who's in college. So I think if I could pick one, I would pick Christmas, but it would be much smaller. I have a big family. It would be much smaller than years past, and we would try to do everything we could to keep it as safe as possible.
Chef, what you giving up, bro?
I mean, honestly, I'm giving up a part of all of it because, I mean, I don't think anyone's doing anything normal this year.
No.
Like, you in the audience, is there anyone out there that is going to have 10 people over for Thanksgiving or Christmas? That being said, I think I would have to give up Thanksgiving because getting together at Christmas, I don't know, it just feels like such a special time to get together. Mm-hmm. And you're actually exchanging things beyond just the meal, you know, sending someone a present in the mail. It's just not the same as being able to watch them open it in person. I just hope the CDC doesn't issue some sort of guidelines or recommendations about the mistletoe at holiday parties this year, because I just can't give that up.
Wait.
Mistletoe?
Chef, you like the mistletoe?
Oh, yeah. Anytime.
Such a creepy thing to say. Anyways.
Hey, the president said it.
Yeah, he likes what you do under the mistletoe.
Hey, so here's where I'm at with this. As you guys know, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. It really is. That's
and,
my
and
favorite.
Why is that though? Is it the food? What is it?
Because it was the holiday that was the least stressful for me during my adult life.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like during my adult life, Christmas was very stressful for me. As someone financially not there and having kids, Christmas was not a fun time. So Thanksgiving is a time where you can go to people's houses or whatever, you get together, you eat, watch football, whatever the case might be. It's just a time to be thankful and grateful for others and your family. So I plan on being in Chicago for Thanksgiving this year. So I'm going to at least be with my mom, and I'm going to be with some family members. However, I think that's going to be the sacrifice. I'm going to sacrifice the Christmas, because even though I think Christmas is a better time sometimes even for families to get together, because it is a joyous occasion, I'm going to go ahead and say, scrap Halloween, scrap the Christmas. It's going to be Thanksgiving this year.
That totally makes sense. I'd love to hear from all of you who are listening right now. Text us at 98973. How are you going to do it differently this year? Mine is going to be small. We've had holiday gatherings where, honestly, you could barely fit into my house. My house isn't that big, but with everyone gathered and some Christmases, we were practically on top of each other. We just can't do that.
I tell you this. I know that we're supposed to be a good example on the radio when it comes to COVID, but whatever about that. Straight up, people need family. You know what I mean? So
do it as safely as possible.
Do it as safely as possible. Sometimes you need a reset, and we don't know what 2021 has in store for us. So there's my thing. Coming up next, we find out how $7,500 was given to the homeless up there in Vancouver, BC. It's Gene Anderson.